And you are tuned in to RBLR Bulls, if you hear that wonderful theme music. And I'm here with my amazing co-host, Jonathan Shields. How are you doing this week, Jonathan?
Good. It's been a crazy, crazy week, not just in USF land, but across all sports, but especially college football. And yeah, it's playoff rankings, coaches going everywhere. Lane Kiffin in general could have a whole movie about all this, but yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah, man, there has to be a documentary about the Lane Kiffin thing, and we'll get into that. But yeah, it's been a hectic week, but we'll get right into it because the big news, Alex Golish has moved on. He is no longer the head coach of the USF Bulls football team. He is with the Auburn Tigers now. He's already in Alabama. Like, he flew there on Sunday. It was kind of a mess. I was at the game Saturday. They took down Rice handedly. I don't even remember the score, like 50+3 or something. But after the game, someone directly asked him, just like, hey, man, like, are you coaching this year, this team next year? And he said he didn't know, needed time to think. Less than 12 hours later, he's the head coach of the Auburn Tigers. So I guess he needed about 10 hours to think, to be exact. So it was kind of an interesting weekend. It was filled with a lot of changes, especially with USF. We're seeing a lot of recruits flipping commitments here and there. So what are your thoughts overall on the Alex Golish era? And what are your thoughts on the Auburn move? Like, was this more understandable than Arkansas? Because there's a lot of rumors with the Razorbacks, but obviously Arkansas, you know, or Alex decided to go to Auburn instead, which is understandable. Just give me your overall thoughts on this move and Alex Golish in general.
Yeah, I mean, I get people being upset about the answer of him saying, you know, anything, and the next day he's gone. I get that, but you know, let's call it like it is. Like, USF is not Auburn, right? If I'm Alex Golish, I'd done the same thing.
You're telling me
I get close to $7 million to go coach in the SEC, and Auburn has won a national championship in the last 15 years. They are a top 15 job. Like, let's not sugarcoat this.
For sure.
I get USF fans being upset that he left, but they shouldn't be upset at him for leaving, if that makes sense.
No.
It's tough because at a school like USF, and it's the same with John Sumrall at Tulane, same with the Memphis head coach who went to Arkansas, at these high-level group of five schools, your head coach is going to get poached if you're any good. It's as simple as that. It kind of comes with the territory. It's the same with Ohio State, with Brian Hartline. It's the coordinators there. Ohio State lost both of their coordinators last year, and they keep having to replace them. But when you're an elite program, that's what you have to do. But that being said, backs against the wall for USF, they go out and make an outstanding hire. Just fantastic. I know we'll touch on that later. But yeah, I didn't get a lot of the uproar at Alex Golish for leaving USF to go to Auburn. Like, he's not leaving USF to go to Duke. He's not leaving USF to go to, you know, Georgia, and Georgia Tech was good this year. But, like, you know, he's going to Auburn. They won a national championship 15 years ago. They're one of the 15 best programs in college football. Like, absolutely. If I was Alex Golish and you're telling me I can get close to $7 million and more than probably $20 million to fill up my roster in NIL, like, yeah, I'm gonna leave too. But we should look back at Alex Golish with an incredible amount of gratitude and fondness for how he rebuilt this program. USF became irrelevant before he got here. It was irrelevant before he got here. And he made them not just relevant, he made them nationally relevant, which is something that USF hasn't been in what? I mean, they had flashes in the mid-2010s, but really since, you know, that 07 season when they were top three in the late 2000s. But I understand why Golish did it. Doesn't mean it doesn't sting any less for all USF fans. But, I mean, yeah, I look at it kind of the other way, as I'm thankful for what he did for the program. And now I just kind of wish him the best of luck as he kind of moves on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mostly meant the 8 hours comment just because I just thought it was funny.
Like, oh, I was talking about you in general.
No, you're good. People are upset about him leaving, and then they're the same people that were also really pissed about, like, the way he handled the Byron Brown injury last year, and they were constantly calling for him to get fired. So, people online are just going to be upset regardless of what he does. So, I don't know. I was super happy to see him get a job like Auburn. Him getting an Auburn job as opposed to an Arkansas job, like you said, Auburn you can't say no to that. Like, unless you're at a top flight, like elite yeah. program, Auburn's a pretty highly regarded position. So, yeah, no hard feelings should be had from USF fans towards him. Like, understandable. He did keep on one of their coordinators, I think the – I forget his name, but their defensive coordinator, which was an interesting move. Yeah, he's got an interesting background, to say the least. And, frankly, they were really bad this year. So, like, keeping any of that staff on was kind of interesting. But that's not USF's problem anymore. That's Auburn's problem. If he goes and screws up Auburn, then cool. No worries. You know, it's all good. But, yeah, he's got some interesting decisions to make over there, not only with the coordinators, but also with the roster. And that brings us to Byron Brown, because Byron Brown had an outstanding year this year. He had an outstanding year 2 years ago, too. He's been just a wonderful, wonderful quarterback for USF during his career. 1 year of eligibility left. So how does this news kind of impact his future moving forward in your eyes?
If I'm Byron Brown, I am going wherever is going to offer me the most money. And it is upsetting, but that's the way college football is. Let's call a spade a spade. Byron Brown is not going to be some high-level NFL quarterback. I wish him all the best if he is. But I'm not going to act like I'm some pro-level scout. But Byron Brown is a great college player. He is a great college player. He's not going to be a first-round pick in the NFL. He is not going to make all the money in the NFL. If I'm Byron Brown, I'm going into the transfer portal, and whoever offers me the most money, I'm going. Because this is his last year to really profit. And if USF can come up with $3 million to keep him, so be it. He stays at USF. I assume he would want to do that. I bet he loves it here. But if Auburn comes calling, he's like, we'll pay you $4.5 million. He's going to be our quarterback this year. I mean, like, what are you going to say to that? You know, yeah. And this is what sucks about how college football is right now. There is now, because it ruins the group of five. It ruins USF. So I assume step one for Brian Hartline is to do every single thing he can to keep Byron Brown a member of USF. But, you know, like I said, look, I hope Byron Brown becomes an amazing NFL quarterback. Me personally, I don't think he's going to be. So you got one last year to profit. It's as simple as that. Go, who's going to throw me the bag? And hopefully it ends up being, and I'm not saying if James Madison gives you $4 million, you go. No, you go to a place where you can win, get your name out there, and hopefully put yourself in a better position to get drafted. And that's also going to give you the biggest bag. Whether that's USF, whether that's Ohio State. It's not going to be Ohio State. Julian Saints coming back. But I'm just saying, you know, from the best team in the country. So, look, it has been a joy to watch him this year. He's been fantastic. He's probably one of the more underrated players in college football, just the way just the numbers he put up this year are absurd. He's going to go down in USF lore regardless. But, yeah, you got to maximize your profit, especially it happens in college basketball all the time. You get these guys that are going into their senior year that just are going to be G League guys in the NBA at both. Right. So why wouldn't I go make $3 million to go be a starting point guard at Kentucky?
Yeah, for sure.
No, that's just kind of the world we live in now. I don't like it. I hate it. I wish people would stay 4 years at one place and build that up. But – and maybe Brian Brown would do that. I'm not. I'm just saying, if I was him and I had one more year to profit, why would I stay at USF for $800,000 when I can go to Arkansas for $2.5 million? You know, it's tough to say no at that point.
Yeah, no, 100%. And yeah, like you said, it's a tough part of the business. You know, college football is very much a business. It's no longer under the guise of, you know, like academics, student athletes. Like, that was always kind of a joke, but it's really become like even more so of kind of a punchline now. And yeah, it's part of it. It's what's going to happen with Byron, like you said. And he'd be stupid not to, you know, like he'd, you know, you got to do what's best for you. And Byron Brown's going to do that. I will say, if he follows Alex Golish to Auburn, that'll be really interesting. Auburn's already got Deuce Knight there. He's a really talented freshman. I really like some things that I saw from him. Super athletic type of guy. And
fits the system. Fits Golish's system.
Yeah, for sure. So that's one of those things. Like, you know, there's always the talk. Oh, Brown's going to follow Golish, and maybe he does. But they've got some guys there already that are more than willing and more than able to fill that role. And Deuce Knight is certainly one of them. So
I'll tell you what, Carter, real quick, I got a question for you. And I teased this in before we came on. Mm-hmm. When I saw Alex Golish left USF, and it wasn't surprising, but my mind went to, what's the next step for USF football, right? They kind of got left behind during all the conference realignment. I don't think there's going to be any more conference realignment, if I'm being honest. If there is, USF's probably the first school. Then Tulane, James Madison, Memphis, whoever you want to put in it. But when you look at the ACC, they have 18 teams. The Big Ten has 18 teams. You know what I mean? I just don't think that that's going to be plausible. When I saw this, it was like, to me, I thought USF is going to be a group of five team for a really long time. And that kind of pains me. I don't know if I'm overreacting to that. I want to kind of get your take on that. Who you went to USF, you're a diehard fan. But, man, when I saw that, it is – I was like, man, like, yes, it's tough. He went to Auburn. But I started to really look at the path. And it's like, what conference is going to, you know, go with USF? The Pac-12 just brought in Texas State. They're not competitive. You know what I mean? Well, like, the Americans are better than them. And you look at the Big Ten, they have 18 teams. ACC has 18 teams. Freaking you 7-5 Duke playing in the ACC championship because Miami, who also has two conference losses, they can't play everyone. So you have these schools that their conference is already too big. And unfortunately, South Florida was down at the wrong time when all this kind of happened. So am I crazy for saying that? Is there any merit to any of that? What do you think?
No, you're not crazy at all for saying that. And there's certainly some merit to it. And it's tough because, you know, let's say they move to the Big Ten or the SEC or the ACC, fill in the blank with whatever big time conference. It gets to a point where, like you said, the conferences are so big that the talent is kind of getting diluted to where there's like the haves and the have nots in even the bigger conferences. You know, you got the Purdue's of the world, you've got the Arkansas's of the world, you've got the Kentucky's of the world. And so it's just kind of tough because even if USF were to make that jump, I don't even know if it makes that much of a difference. I mean, maybe it does. You know, you're playing against other big time
programs. I say it does in terms of making the playoff, having more.
Sure.
But I don't know. A two loss American team is going to make the playoff this year. So,
exactly.
Yeah. But I think this is a little bit of a unique year. But man, if you're Purdue and you have Alex Gold, he still leaves for the Auburn job. In that way, you're right. But I just look and it's like, man, the group of five schools will never get the benefit of the doubt. I think that just it's tough. And I don't know. It's always been the case. Golish leaving for Auburn didn't change that. But I don't know. For some reason, that just made me rethink about that whole thing.
Yeah, no. And the TV revenues and all that stuff is obviously like it's worlds different in those bigger conferences. And then that leads into the NIL stuff and being able to sign bigger coaches. So I don't mean to downplay it in that manner. But I don't know. Like you said, I don't know that them being in the SEC or the Big Ten would have changed Alex Golish moving to Auburn or something like that. So, it's tough, man. And like you said, I don't know that they're even going to end up there anyways because, they really missed the boat. You know, the conference realignment.
They're not unless the school gets kicked out. And the way that those media deals are.
No, yeah.
I mean, every Big Ten school is getting almost $1 billion. You know what I mean? It's just interesting. In terms of being able to keep players and in terms of the revenue that you can produce, that's where even a Purdue was one of the worst teams in the Power Four this year. It's just interesting. And yeah, look, I think this year was kind of an outlier for the group of five. Hell, if Duke beats Virginia, the group of five is going to have two playoff teams. That blows my mind. Yeah. Blows my mind. And I don't believe, unless you deserve it, like Cincinnati a few years ago, I hate that we even have a spot for the group of five in other years. This year is an outlier because there's a lot of group of five teams that are up to the challenge. But that was just one of my reactions when I saw this. Not that, again, there are only about 12 schools that you don't leave for the Auburn job. So that's not necessarily a shot at USF's program. I just think it's reality when you look. USF's not really strong in basketball. You know, football has been their calling card for the last 2 years. And before that, with Flowers and all of them, they were really competitive too. But, man, because USF sucked for so long in football. And they got hot at the right time. And now they're benefiting. And I'm not saying UCF's any good because they were awful this year. But, man, they're still giving that same TV money in the Big 12. That's a hell of a lot more than what's in the American right now. So, there's pros and cons to both sides. But, yeah, it's just something that I want to get your thoughts on, definitely.
No, for sure. And that's the tough part is, like, the Big 12 is by far the most realistic option. And even that, it's still a pretty big conference. And again, would you rather go to the Big 12 and just suck like UCF does? Or would you rather just be like, I don't know. You know, I don't know the answer to that.
Because if USF beats Navy, then they're in the playoff. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just – If we're one game difference, and we're not even having this conversation, that's how slim the margins are in all collegiate athletics, but especially college football. But
So it's tough, man. It's tough. They get to play Rice and Charlotte and UAB and these really god awful teams when they play in conference. So, you know, they've still got the big NIL budget, or one of the bigger NIL budgets in the American Conference. They've got a really good CEO in place. They've got Derek Brooks at the helm as well. So there's a lot of promising things about USF moving forward, even if they don't necessarily make the jump to a bigger conference. And that brings us to the coach that they just brought in today. They brought in Coach Brian Hartline, former wide receiver out of the Dolphins, now was the offensive coordinator of Ohio State University. And man, I thought that this was just a slam dunk hire. I mean, you mentioned 100%. It earlier. Yep. I thought this was probably the best guy that they could have gotten. The OC from Oregon, whose name I escaped.
Stein.
Stein. He would have been awesome. He probably would have been my top choice, but he went to Kentucky. You know, USF's not going to compete with Kentucky in that regard, and understandably so. But Hartline was definitely up there in terms of like the big school coordinators that were kind of near the tops of the list for, you know, group of five. Are we calling it group of six now with Pac-12? I don't know, but group of five, group of six, whatever you want to call it. USF's definitely at the top of that list in terms of open jobs, them, Tulane, Memphis. And Brian Hartline was probably one of the better names out there. So I'm really excited about this, but what were your thoughts when you saw Brian Hartline to USF? It's been almost unanimously positive from what I've seen, but you know, what are your thoughts?
You know, I said in the group chat right away, it was a slam dunk. Absolutely a slam dunk. We saw Chip Kelly leave UCLA to go be a coordinator at Ohio State.
Yeah.
To get their coordinator, who's one of he's probably the best recruiter in the country. Yeah, and to get him to come to South Florida, I mean, it is 100%. You cannot do better than that. Now, he's only been a coordinator for 1 year. You know, that's a detriment. He was a wide receiver coach for a really long time. But, I mean, guess what? Ohio State's the best team in the country by far. And he recruited a lot of those guys. Ever heard of Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Right, yeah.
Recruited him. Ever heard of Jackson Smith and Jigba?
Yeah.
He recruited him. Ever heard of Carnell Tate? He recruited. Oh, yeah. How about Jeremiah Smith? Yeah. Guess who recruited all those guys? Brian Hartline. Just an absolute slam dunk. You could not ask for a better hire or for USF. And even if he doesn't work out, I love this risk. Like, you want to go hire the 60-year-old defensive coordinator from – name a school or whatever, or do you want to go take a risk after you lost the best head coach you've had in what? I don't know how you rate Charlie Strong, but you know, since whenever, you know, this is how you do it. You do it with a splash hire, and he's going to be able to recruit at a high level at South Florida. He's going to, I think the tick up you're going to see in four stars and obviously three stars, but more four stars coming to USF, because USF is an incredibly desirable place to come. And yeah, especially if USF needs to continue to schedule those tough out of conference games. It's tough. That game with Bama got moved to a later date, but that's part of what made USF really a real contender in the playoff, for example. And so same with Tulane, who played Duke and beat Duke. You know what I mean? You got to schedule those power teams and beat them. But I mean, yeah, when I saw the news, I didn't even know he was up for the USF job. It all happened very quickly and just a home run, considering that you had a head coach at UCLA, which is a Power Four school, leave to go to Brian Hartline's job before him. So the fact that you're having him leave to come coach USF is just massive, absolutely massive, absolute home run. And even if it doesn't work out, I absolutely love the hire.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. I don't think there's been really any pushback on that. There were other guys that were kind of tossed around. Like, I think the biggest one for me, at least the sort of the second maybe choice, if they didn't go this big school coordinator route, would have been Willie Simmons out of FIU. He was outstanding at FAMU. He's from Tallahassee. He's got a lot of connections in the area. I know John Gruden was kind of thrown around as kind of a celebrity hire, I guess. I would not have dug that. I'm very happy with Brian Hartline, because Gruden, it just would have been too much nonsense kind of surrounding him. And Deion Sanders, kind of similar to Gruden, and Deion's unrealistic because he's already at Colorado. I'm really excited about Brian Hartline. He should be solid. And like you said, even if he doesn't work out, I think the process behind this hire was really good. I think that they got the best guy that they could have hired. So, I was really excited to see that. But taking a bigger picture look at the college football landscape, we've kind of already talked about the darkness of NIL and guys transferring with Byron Brown and you know, Alex Golish leaving USF for Auburn is, it stings, but it's understandable. And frankly, it's fine. Like they're in a bowl game. It doesn't matter. I forget who's, it's their defensive line coach. Yeah. Kevin Patrick is going to be their interim head coach for the bowl game, but we already brought him up. Tulane and UNT, they both lost their head coaches. And
you mentioned North Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and Eric Morris and Summerall, right? Is that the, yeah. So both of those guys are gone and they're going to be playing in a conference championship and potentially, and whoever wins goes to the CFP. So we're going to be seeing a team with a coach, like with their foot out the door. I think Tulane wins that pretty easily. So we're watching a coach that's going to Florida, which, hey, you know, cool. Go for it, man. Like that's a big time role, but what are your thoughts on the whole, like Lane Kiffin? Like, I mean, we haven't even talked about that. Like leaving Ole Miss to go to coach at LSU, even though these teams are in the midst of a college football playoff run, like you just don't see it in other sports. Like I'm going to the NBA playoffs, but hey, I actually want to go coach the Chicago Bulls, even though they missed the postseason. Like I don't know. I've been frustrated by this. It's been really annoying. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on this coaching carousel and this method of doing things.
College football is broken. And it's incredibly frustrating because I have been a diehard college football fan since I was 3 years old. I've been to over 100 college football games in my life. It is just, it was truly my first love in sports. And seeing stuff like this happen infuriates me. Seeing Lane Kiffin leave Ole Miss to go to a rival, LSU and Ole Miss are bitter rivals.
Yeah,
I just can't even, I can't even fathom that. You guys know I'm a Gator fan. My mom is a Florida State fan, and I can't even be in the same room as her when Florida and Florida State plays. So I cannot even imagine leaving Ole Miss to go coach your rival. But look, I understand why Lane Kiffin did it. LSU is, if you told me LSU is the best job in the country, I wouldn't argue with you. It wouldn't be mine. It would be closer to 5 than to 1 for me, but I get it. But I'm going to defend Lane Kiffin for a quick second because this is the only thing, this is the only thing going in his favor.
For sure.
He has the right to choose where he wants to coach. That is his right. Players move all the time. It's not his fault the college football calendar is like this.
Yeah.
It is his fault the way that he handled the situation and the fact that he basically gave him an ultimatum, the fact that he made them wait so long. He knew 2 weeks ago who's going to LSU. I don't need any of this stuff where he decided the day after the Egg Bowl. That's crap. He knew before. And like the Summerall thing, I'm all for going and coaching in your conference championship. But after that, as you know, I don't want John Summerall to coach Tulane into January. You know, like what are we doing? You got a roster to build at Florida. Florida's fired their past 4 coaches, and we got John Summerall coaching Tulane against Ole Miss when they're going to get waxed by 30.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, but again, it's not on the coaches, and it's a disservice to the players who give their blood, sweat, and tears into the game. And to have their coach who said that he was with them and they built that bond with him, leave them. He left them. He abandoned them. It just it infuriates me that those kids are getting put in those positions. But none of this should even be a thing because the college football calendar is so broken and the people leading college football are so inept that they won't change it because, of the academic rules. None of those kids care about school. They're making 7 figures. And we're out here still thinking, we have to line up the transfer portal with the academic windows. Get out of here with that. We're ruining college football because we have rigid old people that don't want to change. And where's it going to go from here? Eventually, we're going to have 24 teams in the playoff, and the regular season is not going to matter. And when Florida loses to USF, it's not going to matter because all of a sudden, a 4-loss SEC team is going to be ranked number 24 in the country, and they're going to be in the college football playoff. So, sorry to go on a tangent, but it's just infuriating that the people running a multi-billion-dollar operation are inept, and the college football playoff committee is inept. Their rankings is just mind-boggling the way that they rank these teams. It is disgusting the way that they rank these teams. And, you know, they ranked Alabama ahead of Notre Dame, which they should have done beforehand. I bet you the committee didn't even know who Notre Dame played that weekend. I bet you they don't even know what time Notre Dame-Stanford game was on Saturday going into that. So, look, I'm not going to defend Lane Kiffin. He abandoned his players that has given everything for him. But half of his players are going to leave in the offseason anyway. Lane Kiffin has the right to leave. But so I'm like, the way Lane Kiffin handled the situation is awful, but he should never be put in that situation because the college football calendar is so broken. And it's going to take someone to step up and fix it. And right now, no one's stepping up.
Yeah. And I think it's going to take, something like, this was huge. This was kind of a big deal. I think it might even take something even bigger. Like maybe it's going to take like a big time program losing a coach to another big time program for this type of thing to happen. Like,
you could argue it just happened. Ole Miss is number 6 in the country.
That's
they
true.
They won
the
national championship. Yeah. It's their best season in program history.
Right.
But, I mean, what are we doing? You're leaving to go to your rival.
I guess in my mind, it would take like an Alabama or an Ohio State or like.
That makes sense. Ole Miss doesn't have the same pedigree.
It's awful to say.
And unfortunately, you're right. And again, I am all for coaches leaving. You have every right to do whatever you want to do. And it's more on the college football calendar, being in a position where it allows this to happen. My whole thing with the whole Kiffin situation is how he handled it and how he tried to play the victim at the end of it. Just say you're leaving. You're going to LSU. It's okay. Don't try to say, if my coaches aren't on the private plane by this time, you're not coming with me.
That was nuts. That was nuts. Yeah. I don't know what, I don't know what else to say. You kind of put it all out there. And it's tough because USF could have been in the same situation. Like, we could have been, if they just beat Navy, they could have been in the same situation where Alex Golish has taken a job at Auburn and they have a conference championship in a few weeks and they're supposed to be, it's just, so I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know what the solution is. If Brian Hartline works out, if everything goes to plan, then this could happen again to USF specifically. So,
Will. If he's a home run, it will. I bet you, and unfortunate as it is, Brian Hartline is not coming to USF saying, I'm going to be here for 30 years.
Right. Exactly.
It's just, he views this as a stepping stone.
Yeah.
And it sucks as a person that loves South Florida's program that they're a stepping stool program right now. And it sucks. It sucks. It sucks. And they're better than that. But unfortunately, look, two conferences rule college football, and really 10 teams rule college football out of those two conferences combined. And, it kind of is what it is. I just hope Hartline can translate the recruiting success, because that's the most interesting part of all this. He's the best recruiter in the country. There's no better state for high school football than Florida. You know what I mean? USF actually just signed Keyshawn Burks, who is from St. Pete Catholic, where I went. He signed USF today. He's an incredible athlete. I'm actually coaching him in basketball right now. He's a great kid. But he signed to USF today, got him to flip from Army, actually, on that note. But that just goes to, look, there's talent everywhere. I watched him lock up a 4-star with top 100 Wisconsin commit in the regional semifinal. You know what I mean? And that's that little St. Pete Catholic. Imagine if you just go, there's worlds around that you could go to. So I think he's going to do a fantastic job in terms of assembling a roster that can go toe-to-toe definitely with anyone in America and hopefully with most teams in the country.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Brian Hartline's got his work cut out for him in some aspects. Having to replace a head coach as good as Alex Golish and having to deal with figuring out, all right, who's still staying, who's still, who's going, and who can I replace these guys with? He's got a lot ahead of him. He's a first time head coach, so he's kind of working, so he's got to work with a lot of the NIL stuff and everything like that. So, best of luck to him, obviously, and we'll continue to monitor.
So I think we lost Carter momentarily to some Wi-Fi problems. He'll be back in a second. One thing I wanted to touch on with Hartline is I'm really interested to see who he hires. And that's the way college football is now. It's great that you have a head coach. You need the head coach. It all runs through him. But as it all is about who he's going to hire as Carter joins us back. I was just talking about. It's important to see who he hires on the staff, because that's just how college football is nowadays. You need to have elite coordinators. And, hopefully you're good enough to where those coordinators get poached and you got to keep hiring, elite coordinators a la Ohio State. Again, I keep referencing like the best program in the country right now, but that they're the model. So, do you have any thoughts on that? Or do you have any intel of, current staff members that you would like to see maybe retained?
That's a good question. I can't really say that I have too many off the top of my head. I mean, the interim head coach, Kevin Patrick, is pretty well respected. People were pretty excited to see him kind of brought into the fold in that regard and given the chance to just, hey, he's been a USF guy through and through. I'll be interested if he reaches out to any former USF guys. I know that there are some former players that are, active on social media and would seem like good fits. I don't know of the validity of any of that stuff, but yeah, we'll see. Like you said, it's all about the supporting staff, especially for a first time head coach in college football and such a recruiting forward guy. You know, if a guy's a really good recruiter, maybe he, not that he's not a good coordinator or not a good play caller or anything like that, but you know, maybe bringing in some more support staff to help augment whatever struggles he might have in that regard. So yeah, we'll see. But yeah, USF's got a lot of work ahead of them because they've got some guys that are just, they're graduating, you know, they're done. They've used up all their eligibility. And that's a guy like Mac Harris, who I think could maybe make a difference at the NFL level, especially for the Bucs, because good Lord, they need a linebacker. But yeah. Yeah, there's you know, a few. Keyshawn Singleton's a really good wide receiver. I don't know if he's ready for the NFL quite yet, but yeah, there's some names to watch. Chaz Nimrod, I don't know if he sticks around. He's unfortunately probably going to hit the transfer portal, and deservedly so.
I thought he posted something on Twitter, like of him supporting the hire.
That might have been Media Rubin.
Maybe. I saw something. I saw a few. I shouldn't just say I saw one. I saw a few.
I know.
Yeah, but regardless, yes.
Including him, too. But yeah. Moody Rubin's also really good too. I really like him, and I think he's still got one more year of eligibility. Maybe, I'm not sure, but yeah, he'd be a really good guy to keep around. He made a big time play against Rice this past weekend, but yeah, the USF's got some guys that could maybe stick around. But football is not the only thing that's going on. Obviously, there is some men's basketball news. They lost to Oklahoma State. Unfortunately, that game was closer than I thought it was going to be, though. They also lost to VCU and CSU, Colorado State, but they had an overtime victory against Western Kentucky. They're still figuring some stuff out with the new head coach, but they take on Utah State Thursday night, or tomorrow night, rather. And that's a big time game. Utah State, really, really freaking good. They're undefeated. They beat Tulane by 21 points, and they beat VCU earlier in the season. This could be an ugly one. This could be a really, really tough one. Hopefully USF obviously able to rise to the occasion. It's a home game. It's white out. So, you know, if you're in town, if you're in the area, definitely check it out. But I got a couple players to watch for Utah State. And the big one is MJ Collins Jr. He's a senior guard, and he's 15th in the nation in scoring, 21 points per game. Really lighting it up from three, almost four threes a game, and 52% shooting from deep. Like, that's kind of bonkers stuff right there. And then Gary Clark, he's kind of their leading rebounder. He's also 67% from the field too, so he's an efficient interior scorer. But is there anybody else you're looking at Utah State that you think could be a guy to watch out for, especially against USF?
Yeah, I just love that they before I get to more of their players. I love that they scheduled this game. You know what I mean? Yes. Utah State's been notoriously really good in the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. I think you hit on a lot of their guys. Like, they're 7-0. That's pretty big. But you look at their schedule. Like, they haven't played anyone. I'll just put it be straight up.
Yeah.
I'll just be straight up. So, notoriously that they have been really, really good. You know, look, they got four guys in double figures. Colby King is another guy. And anytime you see someone averaging 7.5 assists per game like Drake Allen is, that's not a fluke. That's a really good ball player. So I just love that USF continues to challenge themselves with Alabama later on. And they've already played Oklahoma State, and they played them tough. And now you're doing Utah State. Look, USF's not going to be programs going to get an at-large bid. So the fact that you're scheduling these games is going to get you ready for when you play in the American Conference and hopefully win that conference championship to get to March Madness.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, I mean, it's just they've been a lot of fun to watch. I will say their style of play is really intense, you know, super transition-oriented, pushing the ball a lot, but also playing that full-court press style on the defensive end. So, you know, they're at least a fun watch. Even if they don't necessarily win the game, they've at least been an entertaining watch, I think, from a neutral, a perspective of a fan. You know, if you're just a fan of basketball, they're a good watch, you know, so they've got some fun stuff. But the women's basketball team, really big news. They beat Duke, took down the Blue Devils. And that was a big one because I think USF was only given like a 4% chance to win that one, according to ESPN. So 85-72 as well. They kind of ran away with it at the end. USF kind of cooking, you know, their women's basketball team has been great for years now. But, you know, Jose Fernandez leaving, you kind of wondered what the results of that would be. And unfortunately, they did lose to Minnesota, but then they turned around and beat Harvard. But then ran into kind of a brick wall in UConn. Everyone's going to lose to UConn. Can't really take too much from that. But yeah, they've had some really good performances. Eden Battle continues to lead the team in scoring, 14 points per game for her. as well as Stephanie Ingram, who's actually top 25 in the country in assists, 5.7 per game. And she absolutely balled out against Duke. She had a 27-point performance. She was outstanding. So, yeah, women's basketball team is going to be really fun to watch this season, as is the men's. You know, both of the basketball teams are going to be fun. So definitely check that out if you're on campus looking for something to do. But we're nearing the end of our episode. Really appreciate y'all for tuning in. We'll be back next week with some more stuff on men's and women's basketball. We'll be talking about the Utah State game, you know, whatever happens this weekend in terms of men's and women's basketballs, whatever other USF athletics there are going on out there. And so make sure you hit that like and subscribe button. Also give us a follow on social medias at RBLR Bulls or at RBLR Sports. We really appreciate it. And next time, leave some comments. You know, we'll be going live again next week. And, you know, if you have any thoughts to chime in on with USF related, maybe you hate Alex Golish. Maybe you're one of those people that's glad he's gone. And you know what? God bless you. I would love to hear from you. Anyways, thank you to my co-host Jonathan Shields for making my job incredibly easy. We'll see y'all next week. And until then, and as always, go Bulls.
Yes, sir. Go Bulls, baby.